I was born in Dallas, Texas, God's country. There in Dallas, Mesquite. My family's from Mesquite, Texas. It used to be the rodeo capital of the world. And my father took us to Mexico when we were very little. The Lord called him to be a missionary. And so he established 10 churches down in Mexico. We later moved back to Mesquite, and I spent 9 years there in Mesquite. Went to elementary. I was the only other Hispanic in the elementary school. Anybody want to guess what the other guy's name was? Jose. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, Jose. Yeah, not you. That's the other. Went to middle school and it got a little more integrated. And then high school was just crazy. But every summer I would go down to, I would go down to my dad's, the churches he started, go down to Mexico for the summer, practice my Spanish, just work on the mission field. And God would just grab a hold of my heart. You know, we'd sleep on the floor. There's no air conditioning, dirt roads, you know. But man, we had peace. We were watching people get saved and have a part in the work and starting new works and everything. And I'd go back to Mesquite, and I had a driving permit. I had my first car. I made the football team there in Mesquite. I think it was like seventh string. The coach make sure to let me know that when Hades froze over, I would play. And so, but I made the team, and I just had a good time. But again, the Lord was calling me down there. So at the age of 16, I left my mom, left my family there, and just sold out and went down to the border, went down to Mexico. I studied in South Texas, studied high school. And then we would hitchhike, we would ride our bicycles, we would drive down about 40 minutes away to Bible college. Did that for 3 years. When I turned 19, I'm from February, so the age is a little weird. I was a senior in high school, senior in Bible college, and I was called to take my first church. That wasn't my plan. My plan was to graduate and then be under a pastor for 2, 3, 4 years, however long it took. But long story short, we took our church at 19 years old, and I was still a senior in high school and a senior in Bible college. And the rest is a blur. I graduated from high school. I was happy. Graduated from Bible college. I said, good, now I can just concentrate on pastoring the church. And they called me to be a teacher at the Bible college. So we taught 13 years at the Bible college. We pastored about 15 years on the border, a little town named Nuevo Progreso. From there, the Lord moved us 8 hours in. And you'll get to see all of that. We'll show you that. But I'm just kind of giving you an introduction. I'm going to have my wife and my kids come and sing for you guys. One or two songs, Pastor. We'll do two songs. We'll do two songs. And I'll have my family come up here. This is... I'll introduce everybody so you can see them. This is my wife, Hannah. This is my oldest daughter, Joanna. This is Samantha. This is Jose the Third, because there's not enough Jose's in the world. And this is my white baby, Eli. Amen. It's not a racist thing. Don't get me started. I know I'm in New York, but come on. It's just the color. I remember my father-in-law's from the South, and I remember when we went to go visit him, and we had Eli, and I told him, hey, Mr. Mosier, I made you a white grandchild, made you a white baby, and I gave him to him, and he grabbed him, and he goes, he is. So I tell people, I joke around, he's going to be my missionary to America. He's going to be my missionary to America. So y'all pray for him, okay? We're gonna sing a couple of songs. I need the capo. If anybody can go grab it real quick. We're gonna sing a couple of songs for y'all. This is my favorite song in the history of us singing. The case of the guitar should be there somewhere.
It's over there. There you go.
It's in the top
right. Sorry about that. You'd think this was our first time. We heard this song about 5 months ago, and we wrote it down, and we really like this song. It's called He Has. Janet's in the pocket.
It's in the pocket, honey.
Yes.
There you go.
There we go. You got it. Amen. Listen to this song, and I pray it's a blessing to you like it's been a blessing to me and my family. And this song is called He Has. Sing.
I'm just going to make a joyful noise. What's that song called? He Knows My Name. That's right. He Knows My Name. And then we'll do a chorus in Spanish. Español.
He counts the stars one and all. Knows how my sand is on the shore. Sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And he knows my name.
Set up the pastor, if y'all can set up that the presentation. I will. I'll talk a little bit on that presentation. Just like a good, independent, fundamental Bible-believing Baptist, our presentation is about 5 years old. Amen. But somebody did an update, and so this is the old video. And the new video merged together, and so the new video has nobody talking on it, and so I'm going to talk, and if you leave me on, brother, I'll talk a little bit on the actual video, just to kind of further explain what you guys are looking at, okay? And so, amen, brother. Yes, sir. Hey. Put a little bit of...
Hello, this is Pastor Charlie Andrews of Gordon Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. I'd like to recommend Brother Jose Gomez, Jr. I've known Brother Jose since he was about 14 years old. When I began to work with his father, Jose Gomez Sr., in Rio Lava, Mexico, I've been working with him for over 20 years and saw this young man grow up to be a fine, godly man. He pastored some there with his father in Rio Lava, then took the pastorate 12 years ago in Progreso, where he has built a new church since then and saw the congregation grow. I've known him. He's a man of integrity and honesty, and I can wholeheartedly recommend this young man for your support, prayerfully and financially.
Jose Gomez and his wife Hannah are missionaries to the country of Mexico. They have been preaching the gospel for 15 years, first in Nuevo Progreso, a small town just across the border from Progreso, Texas, which is just west of Brownsville, Texas. This is a photo of Jose's first church that he took over when he was just 19 years of age. Jose and Hannah have four children, Joanna, Samantha, Jose III, and Elias.
This was our Sunday school rooms.
Brother Gomez began in a small wood-frame building, and God started and kept on blessing them. Slowly, they built a block structure around the original building until they had enough money for the roof. Then they tore down the original wood structure that was inside their new building. Next came the second floor.
The walls went up, and in 2007, the Lord used a church in Ohio to put the roof on the second story and to frame the living quarters in the back of the second floor. God continued to bless, and many more have been saved since then.
You'll see a picture here with a lot of kids. It was our vacation Bible school. We had 600 children. This is it. I told him, y'all got to do less next year because we can't handle. They did 450 the next
Besides founding 12 churches together, Jose and his father run Gloryland Baptist Bible College in Rio Bravo, Mexico. Its three-year course of study is free of charge to any who are willing to surrender to the ministry. Over 100 students have graduated since the college opened its doors over 16 years ago. In 2011, God gave Brother Gomez a burden for the people in the mountains of San Luis, a state which is about 9 hours south of Nuevo Progreso. It is an area almost totally devoid of any New Testament gospel witness. About 98% of the population consider themselves to be Roman Catholic, and the Jehovah's Witnesses are beginning to become prevalent in the area and further corrupting the spiritual state of the people.
So what you're about to see is an actual video of the town the Lord took us to. They have this every year. This happens every year. These are Mexican Indians right here, and the people are more Indian, more native. That's Joseph, Mary, and Jesus on a truck. Because, of course, that's what the Bible says, right? They rode on a truck. But look at all these people. You ask them why they do it. It's just tradition. They're getting led to hell.
Brother Gomez is being led to this region to reach the lost and to plant many churches. There are over 185 villages within an hour's travel, with each averaging a population of at least 1,000. The largest village in Mexico, called La Palma, is within this region with a population of over 5,000. Brother Gomez learned first of this area and its need in 2008 and has made several trips to this area since. God continued to bless, and in just 1.5 years, a new church building was erected, furnished, and completed. Many people now call this their church home, and more continue to be saved, baptized, and added to the church on a regular basis. The first church in San Luis is in the village of Agua Buena, and on their first anniversary on July 22, 2013, they had a service on Saturday and had 8 saved. Then on Sunday morning, they had a baptismal service where 36 people were baptized and another was saved, and 3 young people surrendered to serve our Lord. There have been great requests from the surrounding area to start more churches, as the people are starving for good gospel preaching. Brother Gomez began having Friday services in the town of San Nicolas, which is about an hour further up the mountain from Agua Buena. And on the service on Friday before the big anniversary service in Agua Buena, there were over 150 in attendance and 15 saved. With all the souls that are being saved in San Luis, the devil is really fighting. And this year, the van that Brother Gomez drove to San Luis was overheating during the trip. And once they arrived, they took the same van about an hour away, and on the return trip, it burst into flames. Two young men who were in it managed to get out just before it was totally engulfed. Unfortunately, Brother Gomez's Bible was lost in the fire, along with almost all of his sermon notes. In all, during the trip, they saw almost 20 saved and 16 baptized. The Lord has truly blessed his work in San Luis, and we thank everyone who has had any part in this ministry.
So new work, where do we baptize people? Well, about 5 minutes away, the Lord gave us this place. It's like you put a little pinky down and fit perfect. You baptize people.
The following photos show the people of San Nicolas and the property which has been purchased for their church. The foundation is in, and the construction will begin as soon as funds permit. Currently, the congregation meets under a large awning or tarp that was donated to the church.
I want y'all to see that we build the church first. The church is the people. Then we try to buy a property, then we try to get a building. But this will explain a little bit so that's what we left on the border, running about 130 people. Real good church, the Lord asked us to move, so we moved, started from the ground up. This is the church, the first one that you saw getting built. Then the one in St. This was, I think, a Christmas. We have 250 people. The Lord has been really good to us. You also see a picture of St. Nicholas. You saw all those people outside, and you get to see what their building looks like. Baptisms. And notice when somebody's getting saved, we have one-on-one. I'd like to make sure they know what they're doing. Amen. This is the Victory in Christ Baptist Church in St. Nicholas. The Lord has really blessed. It's been worth it. I had typhoid fever. I got typhoid fever up there. But it was worth it. This is our most recent work in Ciudad Valles. This is not a village. It's a big city. Over 400,000 people. They need the gospel. Not many churches. Bible believing churches. But we were able to purchase the property, our most expensive. But the Lord provided, so we did a small building. And now we outgrew it. We built one right next to it, and we tore down the wall. And we're still growing. So you guys help us pray. That church has only been there for 2 years. And now we need to start a new work in Tampico. Tampico has three cities next to it. It's Tampico, Madero, and Altamira. And if you see there, Madero has over 209,000 people. Altamira's got about 400,000. And then Tampico's got, just in the city, 929,000. So there's over 1.5 million people there. Very few Bible-believing churches. So I need you folks to help us pray. Again, we've built the church. Now we need to buy a property. We have a man trained. Graduated from our Bible college, 3 years. There I am in the front, same blue shirt. And this brother Omar, we rent that house, and he's got a little tarp. And that's the church. They meet. This man's been faithful. His wife almost died on him while giving birth to their daughter. But we found a property,
It's 20 meters by 10 meters. And you read right, we need about 18 to 20,000 to buy this property. We don't have any money promised yet. We don't have any money given yet. You help us pray. It sounds like a lot of money, but if we could get 18 churches to give $1,000, 18 people, just pray that the Lord will touch the right hearts. And next time I come through, I'll show you pictures of what the building looks like and their property. But we praise the Lord. He's good. He's faithful. Amen. Also pray, we got to get these people a church van. The pastor goes in his car and does about 3 or 4 trips to pick people up. So, amen.
Amen.
In the front. Amen. Amen. If y'all would, please pray for us. We've got this property that we need to buy, that we need to purchase. We've got a church there. We've got a pastor and his family. We want to buy this property and then build kind of like the Valles church. Just build something with wood, sheetrock. It's fast to build. And build them living quarters in the back of the building so they don't have to pay rent. Tampico's right on the coast, so they get rain, all they have is that little tarp. And so, they've been faithful. We've got another 3 weeks here in the States that we're gonna try to raise support, and we're gonna try to raise money for this property. Somebody said, well, what's more important? I don't know. We need support, but I can wait on support. We've never been fully supported. They've asked me, what percentage are you in? And I say, I'm 100%. I'm all in. We started at 19, Pastor, never went on deputation, so we don't know what percentage. We just do it by faith. We had a child, two children. I figured out you need support. God sent some people to the border. They saw the work and they said, we're gonna help you out. And they did. And we thank God for them. They've been faithful. We don't have a lot of churches, but we have people that are very faithful. Okay. And so, just pray for us. Pray for us. We try to be very, very transparent as a missionary. If people mistrust you, then you can't do much. And so, we encourage people to go down to Mexico. So they can see firsthand. You can see every building you saw on here. You'll see it. And the kicker is this. They don't look the same. They look better. Because we don't just stay still. We're constantly working. We're building. We're trying to make things better. We're doing outreach. We're having services in people's houses. We're having services in different communities. And, I tell the churches I go to, I tell them, yes, we're already down in Mexico. Some people say, well, you don't need support because you're already down there. No, that's false. We need support because we want to do more. And we're limited by what we can do because of the finances, not because of the manpower. We've got people trained. We've got people sold out to the Lord. But gasoline is almost $5 a gallon. Electricity per kilowatt hour is more expensive in Mexico than in the States. And they make about $80, $60 a week. You say, how do they do it? Well, they don't have 3 air conditioners, or they don't have an air conditioner in the whole house. They don't drive 3 cars. They drive 1 motorcycle and put 3 people in it. You know, that's what they do. They just survive, man. They're scrappers. Mexicans are scrappers. They survive. And so they need the Lord. Amen. They need the Lord. That's what's going to change Mexico. Everything you hear about Mexico, sometimes it's exaggerated, but sometimes it's actually worse. And the government's not going to change it. They just got a socialist guy in there. I was pulling for him, not because he's a socialist, but because he's different than all the other guys. You know, we've had one party in power for almost the whole existence of Mexico.
But no, this guy's not much better. And I could just talk and talk and talk. But after church, if you want to talk, if you have a question, please let me know. And let's everybody stand. We'll let the chairs rest a little bit. And we'll open our Bibles in the book of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 3. If you have something to write with, I would ask you to get it out, okay? Get something to write with. I want your undivided attention. I'm going to give you some things. Some of it's a little deep. Some of it's very practical. I want you to go home and study it on your own, okay? We're going to see a story that people kind of tell it different ways and everything. And then I'm also trying to beat the clock. So you guys bear with me, okay? Mark chapter 14, verse 3. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. And by the way, my notes are in Spanish. So if you hear me breaking, I'm not Pentecostal. I'm just homesick, I guess. I don't know. Mark 14 and verse 3. And being in Bethany. Okay, first thing you're going to underline, first thing you're going to remember is Bethany. It's the name of a town. They're in Bethany, okay? Remember that. Being in Bethany in the house of who?
Simon
the leper. Remember that. Again, if you want to underline it, if you want to, Simon the leper, remember that. Simon the leper is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in one, he's mentioned as Simon the Pharisee, and I'll show you why I believe he's the Simon the leper, same guy. And then in the book of John, it's just going to, don't go to John. Don't you do it. Just wait, okay? Hold on. Here we go. So it says, and as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Anytime you do something for God, people will criticize you. And write it down. The people who criticize you are usually the ones that are doing nothing. Amen. Watch. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. Yeah, I'm sure they're thinking about the poor. In the book of John, Judas says the same thing, and John throws him under the bus and says he wasn't worried about the poor. He stole. Okay? Watch. And Jesus said, let her alone. You have somebody to defend you. Amen? Amen? It's Jesus. Why trouble you her? She had wrought a good work on me. And so I had a message titled, A Good Work. I'm not going to preach that. Out of that message, I preached about 20 times and kept getting little nuggets here and there. And I got this message. This message is titled, A Missed Opportunity. Okay? I'm not going to go into who the woman is because I don't know who the woman is. Why? Because the Bible says a certain woman. Okay? I need more hints. Yeah. A great sinner. Okay, for all have sinned. I don't have it. You study at home, you find out who she is, text me and amen. We'll high five and it'll be great. I want to preach on this, a missed opportunity, okay? A missed opportunity. And stay with me because I'm going to try to go. And let's pray. Brother, pray for us, please. And somebody get me some water, pretty please. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, Jesus is here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name. And now, why am I saying that? The only reason I'm saying that is because He showed up at this house too. Okay? And so, it's sad to miss an opportunity. And there's all kinds of opportunities. Black Friday's coming up. Amen? I'm not going. I don't want to die. I'm not dying for, you know, a memory card or stick or, thumb drive for $2, for 50 cents. I'm not dying for that. I'm sorry. But you can say, oh, it's a missed opportunity. Yeah, sure. You know, there's all kinds of missed opportunities, but, and some people just take it harder than others, you know. But in this story that we read in the Bible, we see a woman that took advantage of the opportunity that Jesus was in her town. She took advantage. He was in Bethany. And so she knew that Jesus was in Bethany. And she knew that Jesus was in the house. And she went. Nobody invited her. She didn't get an invitation. She didn't care. When Jesus was there, she begins to worship Him and love on Him and just appreciate. And in one portion of Scripture says she did it for her burial, for His burial. Another portion she did it to worship Him, and so she took advantage of the opportunity. Now there's a couple of thoughts in about this story, and I'll just give you a couple of them, two of them. Some believe this is one story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's one story. Some people believe it's actually two different occasions, okay? Some people believe it's three, four, five is impossible because it only happened four times. Okay, I'm glad you're here with me. Okay. I almost had you there. I believe, you know, this is not, you don't break fellowship over this. I'm just letting you know, okay? But I'm going to tell you what I believe. If you think I'm wrong, it wouldn't be the first time. You can ask my wife. It wouldn't be the first time. We're not getting doctrinal. This is just little things. And the practical stuff I'm going to give you, you can apply it 100%, okay? But I'm going to give you a couple of things, and you can just think about it and read it and study it at home. And it's something I found interesting. But there's arguments for the theories. I'll give you the strongest arguments. For example, in some of the verses it says it was a pound of ointment. In another portion of Scripture it says she poured the whole thing. Was it a pound or was it the whole thing? Now, the biggest and more powerful argument to tell you that this is not one story throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's actually at least two times, is that they have different dates. If you read the beginning in chapter 14, it says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. 2 days. In the book of John, it says, after 6 days. That's different. This is at least two different times. Are you here with me? Now, we see this story in the book of Matthew chapter 26. If you want to read it at home, we see it here in Mark chapter 14, which we read. We see it in Luke chapter 7, and we see it in John chapter 12, okay? And so I'm going to give you four things real quick tonight on the missed opportunity, okay? A missed opportunity. We know the story. We read the story. We'll read some more verses, but first thing I want to see is that they, there's people there. There's the guy that invited him, Simon the leper. There were some Pharisees there. The disciples were there. There was people in the house. But I want to tell you that they missed an opportunity. Let me explain. In the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time this offering was given, every time this perfume was given, they said, 300 pence. 300 pence. 300 pence. In the book of John, you guessed it. 300 pence. That's like me having pastor take out his cologne and I say 48.55. Are you impressed? How did I know that? Because I have the same exact one at home. That's the only way I could guess it, by the way. I believe in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, they were so quick to say 300 pence because they had the same perfume at home. So what do I think? First of all, I believe that they missed an opportunity to give the Lord the best that they had. The best. What is the best that they had? Why do I mean the best that they had? Because it was 300 pence. If you study it out, 300 pence is almost a year's wage. This wasn't Dollar Store, Dollar Tree, Dollar General. You know the perfume that you spray and by the time it gets to you, it's neutral? You know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't look at me like that. Don't you judge me, people. You know, it's mostly a mental perfume. You know, okay, I put something on. It's just, it's here. It's not on here. This was the real deal, man. This was a year's wage that she gave. Listen, her mind was right. Her heart was right. She said, Jesus is in the house, and I'm not going to give Him what I have two of. I'm not going to give Him what I have left over. I'm not going to give Him something that's already open. I'm not going to give Him something that's already used. I'm going to give Him the best that I have. And she took the opportunity, and she anointed the Lord. My question is, why didn't they do it? Why didn't they do it? They were quick to say 300 pence, and they knew the perfume, and man, I could almost guarantee you somebody had one. Somebody had one. Yeah, but they weren't willing to give it to the Lord. You say, Brother Gomez, why is that a missed opportunity? I'm glad you asked. That's a missed opportunity because in your Bible, that's the last time Jesus went to Bethany. That's the last time Jesus went to Bethany. He didn't come back. Next time you see Jesus close to Bethany is when He ascended to heaven. When He ascended to heaven, He was in the outskirts of Bethany. Okay? Can you imagine being one of the guys that was in that room? I don't think He's all that. I don't think He's a Messiah, whatever. I don't know what she's doing. She's wasting her money. She's wasting her time. And He's a good teacher. He's a good, maybe even a prophet. I don't know. But come on, man. Come on. He's not all that. I'm not going to give Him a whole year of my life to this man. I'm not going to do it. He don't deserve it. He's not that good. He's not all that. He's nothing special. And then all of a sudden, some days later, here He is floating in the air. Didn't they just crucify Him? Oh man, He was the real deal. Oh no, I could have given Him the best that I had. I could have worshipped Him. I could have. It was too late. They missed it. They missed their opportunity. And listen, we can all agree that they missed their opportunity, but before you get too judgmental, how many times do we miss an opportunity? How many times does pastor get up here and say, folks, we're going to do outreach. Folks, we're going to do this. Folks, we're going to help this person. Folks, we're going to do this. And we just sit there and say, not me. I just don't think it's worth that much. I just don't think it's all that. Next time. Next project. Next missionary. Next thing. Folks, who told you there's going to be a next one? You see, I believe our Christianity becomes stagnant because we take stuff for granted. We take our salvation for granted. We take for granted what the Lord did for us. But you know what? We take for granted that, oh, we'll be here next Sunday. We'll be here next Sunday. So I'll give next Sunday. I'll give next Sunday. It's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody guarantees you next Sunday. And if you realize that, your singing will get a lot better. Your amens will get a lot louder. Your giving will become more. And listen, you'll take it more seriously if you realize this could be the last time you're here on earth praising His holy name. Amen. It'll change your Christianity. I'm trying to be fast. We'll go. Second thing. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 7. Y'all say amen and everything. Pastor's just giving me the look. So He signs the check, so I'm going. Luke chapter 7. Go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. If you have it, say amen. 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 I might just have to do a couple points and then that's it. Let's go. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Do you have it? Say amen. Watch this. And one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with them. Does anybody know what that means? Desired Him that He would eat with them? He wanted Him to. It was His desire. In Spanish, it says that He begged Him. Now, I know we're King James, and we're King James only. I'm in the right place. I'm not going to go into the Greek. In the Greek, desired means he desired, okay? He wanted him to come. He invited him. I'm telling you this, and I'm trying to make a point of this, because if we read it, it doesn't make sense. Okay, watch. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would come, so he wanted him to come, and he went into the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Who is she? Okay, that's 100% of women. And men. For all have sinned. Ladies, calm down. We're not getting a good love offering tonight, baby. I'm just telling you right now. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him and weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And now when the Pharisee, here's the Pharisee, which had bidden him, he invited him, saw it, he spake within himself. Listen to what he said inside him. This man, if he what? If he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. So are you. You calm down there, Mr. Pharisee. She's just as dirty as you are. The difference is she's going to the one that can clean her. Yeah. Don't you judge people because they sin differently than you. Verse 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, what did he say? So what Simon? Simon the leper. Matthew and Mark, it's Simon the leper. And in Luke, it's Simon the Pharisee. But don't get confused. He's still a leper. It's spiritual. He's a spiritual leper. It's Simon. Same dude. I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Look at that hypocrisy. If he were a prophet. He says, hey man, let me talk to you. Yes, Master. What a liar. There are certain creditors which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Watch this now, watch this. And he turned to the woman, forget you, I'm going to talk to her. Talk to her. And he said unto Simon, hey you, look, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet. Amen? But she had washed my feet with tears. What is that water? Real quick. In Jewish custom, Jewish tradition, if you invited somebody to your house, the least you would do is put water so that they could wash their feet. That's the least you would do. Bare minimum. If it was somebody important, somebody that you would call master, you would wash their feet. No water. Nothing there. But when she washed his feet, watch, he's not done. He goes, where do we leave off? 40 what? 44. Okay. With tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. 45. By the way, that's the dirtiest part of a man and a woman in that culture, in the Jewish culture, is the feet. She was kissing on his feet. She didn't care. It says, thou gavest me no kiss. What is that? That's a greeting. That's how Muslims, that's how Jewish people greet each other, with a kiss. Wait, y'all don't think that's weird? He invited him, he begged him to come to his house. No water, no kiss. Not weird? Huh. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. Well, because he didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. You know who did believe? She believed. How do I know she believed? There's two people who were anointed. It was kings and priests. She knew he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He didn't. He said if he were a prophet. No anointing. But this woman hath anointed my feet with the ointment. Second thing they missed, and I say they, that's the disciples, that's the Pharisees, that's Simon the leper, that's everybody that was there. They missed an opportunity to worship the Lord. What was going on? Well, there was a woman and she was, no. But what was she doing? She was worshiping the Lord. Where are the disciples at? Where's John? I mean, he was the one that was sleeping, laying down on his chest, on his bosom. You'd think he'd get a little jealous. Okay, lady. That's enough. I'm next. I want to tell him that I love him. I want to tell him that he's my Savior. I want to kiss his feet. I want to do it. Peter says, back off, punks. I got a knife. Let me show you how it's done. Woo! And he starts walking toward Jesus. And he bows down. And none of that happened, by the way. Pharisees didn't do it. They didn't do it. They missed an opportunity to worship the Lord. You say, yeah, preacher, they did. But hold on. So do we. Oh, no, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't know the problems I have at work. You don't know the problems I have at work. You don't know my family problems. You don't know my life. You don't know the debt that I have. You don't know the weather. You don't know. That's why I didn't say amen. That's why I didn't go to the altar. That's why I was a little, preoccupied. But next Sunday, next time he's in Bethany, I'll be the first one there. Yeah. They missed it. They missed an opportunity to worship him. Third thing, real quick. He missed. Now I'm going to talk about Simon the leper. Look at the opportunity he missed. Let's keep reading. Where do we leave off? 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, he's talking to Simon, her sins, which are many. In other words, you're right. She is a great sinner. But you know what? Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with him. It says, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? They didn't know who he was. She knew. But that didn't throw Jesus off. He just reinforces what he did. And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Simon and some of the guys there, they missed their opportunity. He missed his opportunity to stop being Simon the leper. Who was there? Who was there in Simon's house if it's not the great physician? The greatest miracle worker in the history of humanity. The one who spoke and earth was created. Amen. He was in his house. And not only that, he was eating. I mean, come on, who's not happy when they're eating? There was a worship service. I mean, everything was right. When that woman was worshiping him, he could have gone by, he could have knelt and said, Lord, you are worthy of all praise. My Lord, my God, my Savior. And then he could have said, Lord, by the way, I've got something right here that's Used to be a spot, but now it's getting bigger. Lord, could you heal me? Would you heal me? And if I read my Bible right, I believe the Lord would have said, I would heal you. And I don't know how he would have done it. I don't know if he would have spit and got some mud and whap, there it is. I don't know if he would have said, go take a couple of dips. Or he could have said, you're healed. And baby skin. He missed it. He missed his opportunity to stop being Simon the leper. Why? Because this woman, because she's so bad, and I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as she is. And so listen, you say, well, what does that have to do with me? How many times do we miss an opportunity? We come to church, we feel pretty good about ourselves, and we're not that bad. And I grew up Catholic, and I grew up in a Baptist church, and I'm not going to hell. I'm not that bad. Oh no, there's bad people. There's great sinners. And you miss the opportunity to stop being the great sinner. She was the great sinner, but she left with a new title, and it was forgiven. Amen. If you come to this place, church is not going to forgive you. Church can't get rid of your sins. There's only one who can get rid of your sins. His name is Jesus Christ. And you have to take advantage of the opportunity that he's here, and you have to say, Lord, I am a sinner, and would you please save me? If you come to him, he'll not cast you out. He missed an opportunity. He healed her. He never said, your sins are forgiven. He said, her sins are forgiven. Well, you're this fourth one and we're done. Fourth one and we're done. Go to John chapter 12. I saved John because it's the fourth book in order, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But there's something interesting here, okay? By the way, John is throwing Judas under the bus. You'll see it. I'll show you like two or three times where he's just like, this guy's bad news. I'll show you. Verse 1, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Then Jesus, how many days?
Six.
Okay, what happened first? Come on, you math geniuses. What happened first? Who said this one? You sure? This happened first. So the other ones we read happened after. This is the origin story. Okay? This is the first time this happens. Here we know who the woman is. It's very clear. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, same town. Amen? Where Lazarus was. It didn't mention Lazarus in the other stories. Which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Watch this, 2. There they made him a supper. Who made him a supper? They. It's not he. The other one is Simon the leper, Simon the Pharisee. It's he made him a supper. This is they. Who's they? Martha, Mary, Lazarus. Are you here with me? Okay. This isn't the hard part. Here we go. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. 3. Then took Mary, this one's Mary, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Watch this, verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. I'll give you a couple of seconds, even though I'm late. You got it? Surely, Brother Jose, don't call me Shirley. If you read your Bible, when it talks about Judas, it's always Judas Iscariot. Why does it say Simon's son? And then remember I told you John was throwing him under the bus? I believe he was trying to say, hey guys, his dad is Simon the leper. I really do. You can disagree with me. Go home, study it, text me, and we'll high five. And I won't preach it anymore. But I believe this is Simon. Now listen, I'm going to connect it, okay? I'm just like, any detectives here? Any detectives? Law enforcement? No? Okay. You follow me, okay? It's me and you, brother. Me and you. Okay, let's see if, might just be conjecture, but we'll see. Okay, watch this now. Watch. Simon's son, which should what? Is that not John throwing him under the bus again? Okay, watch. He's not done, by the way. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? Excuse me? What did he just say? Did we not just read that? Same exact thing. Like father, like son. They said the same thing. I'm not making it up. They said the same thing. You go back and study it and you'll see. He said the same thing. Watch. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Here we go. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. There's Johnny. Throwing him under the bus yet once again. And had the bag and bared what was put therein. Watch this. 7. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Who's he talking to? Judas. Straight up. Man on man. One on one. You stinking leave her alone. Leave her alone. Why? Watch this. Let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. She knows I'm going to die for the sins of the world. She knows what she's doing. She's not wasting anything. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Question. Who likes getting rebuked publicly? What? You bunch of weirdos? Nobody? Nobody likes public humiliation and public correcting and public chastising? No? Nobody. By the way, in this culture, a woman was nowhere close to a man. For him to do this? No way, no. This is what I believe. Again, you can study it at home. This is what I believe. Again, Pastor, I said this is what I believe. I could be wrong. Ask my wife, she knows I'm wrong a lot. I believe Judas got bitter. I don't think he liked that. So I believe Judas goes to his dad. Same town, Bethany? Bethany, same town? I believe he says, Dad, I need you to check this guy out. I followed him blindly. But you're a Pharisee, you know the book. I need you to check him out. This is the proof that I have to say that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? What did Simon say? If this were a... Isn't that weird? Isn't that a weird thing to say? If he were a prophet? To me, that seems like you're checking him out. Again, he begs him to come to his house, but there's no water. Why? Because you really don't like the guy. He comes to your house, but you don't kiss him. You don't shake his hand. Why? I'm going to check him out. And when a woman shows up and does the whole thing his son told him, he's not a prophet. If he were a prophet, he'd know what type of woman this is. Are you here with me? And then Jesus rebukes his dad. So now Judas got rebuked straight up, and now his dad got rebuked. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 this isn't right. No, he can't choose a sinner woman over my dad. He can't choose Mary over me. This is wrong. Jesus is wrong. Jesus has done messed up. This is it. Watch, I'm going to give you two verses and we're done. Two verses, real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Two things and we're done. Again, I encourage you to study this at home, okay? Somebody said Simon couldn't be the Pharisee because lepers couldn't be. I said, listen, money talks. Okay, Bible says there was a woman taken in the act of adultery. Remember that? Where was the guy? Where's the guy? Nobody saw him. Why? Because he had money or he was well off. And they said, you just get out of here, man. Okay, here we go. Matthew 26, verse 13. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Here's Jesus saying, from now to eternity, when they preach this gospel, what she did, it's going to be, she's going to be lifted up. What she did, it's going to be talked about. What she did, it's going to be good. Not what you did. What she did. It's not about you, it's about her. The great sinner. Look at the next verse. Look at this. Tell me this isn't interesting. Then. What does then mean? Right after. Right after this thing happened. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests, and he said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. When? Then. When then? When he got bitter. When Jesus chose a woman over him. When Jesus chose a woman, a sinner woman over her dad. Then he did this. I don't believe Judas had to betray Jesus. If Judas had to betray Jesus, then there's no free will.
Yep.
Then. Well, you can't build doctrine on one verse. Let me give you another one. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. We'll be done. I told you two more. I keep my word. I'm okay. I'm getting there. Mark chapter 14, verse 9. If you have it, say amen. Bible says, Mark chapter 14 and verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Watch 10. And Judas Iscariot, by the way, that's twice Judas Iscariot, no Simon. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to what? Betray him. Unto them. Judas missed an opportunity to become better, and instead he became bitter. Oh, you're right, Pastor. He messed up. Yeah, how many times do we do that? How many places are empty right now because somebody got their feelings hurt? And instead of fixing it, instead of apologizing, instead of forgiving, instead of giving it to the Lord, they kept it. And they said, how much will you give me to go to your church? How much will you give me to talk, to tell you about pastor? How much will you give me to tell you about those families and that crazy Pentabaptist church? I would never do that. I don't think Judas woke up one day and said, I'm going to betray the Lord. We miss an opportunity. Every time we come to church, there's an opportunity to get things right with the Lord. Number one, it's an opportunity to get things right with our family. It's an opportunity to get things right with our pastor. If we've hurt somebody, if somebody has hurt us, it's an opportunity to get it right. Judas could have said, Jesus, that hurt me that you chose her over me. And Jesus could have said, I did. I chose her over you because she was right and you were wrong. But Jesus, you're right. I messed up, but I'm just telling you it hurt me. Jesus, can I tell you something else? I've been taking money from the purse. Lord, could you ever forgive me? What do you need me to do? What do I have to do? Lord, please forgive me. It was his opportunity to just get everything out there, brother, and get it right. He missed it. Next time you see him trying to repent, he gives the money back. It's too late. Next thing you know, he's hanging. He missed an opportunity. Folks, don't miss your opportunity to get right with the Lord. Oh, but they're going to think I'm a sinner. You are. I'm a sinner. But you don't have to live with that title. You don't have to leave with that title. You can leave forgiven if you take advantage of that opportunity. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Would you come tonight as we pray, and I'll have Pastor come, and if he wants to do an invitation, if he wants to listen, just think about what you've heard tonight. And would you do business with the Lord? Would you just say, Lord, I've gotten bitter. Lord, instead of getting better, I've gotten bitter. Lord, there's things in my life that I need to get right. Lord, I've missed opportunities to worship you because I'm so obsessed with work. I'm so obsessed with things going on in my family that I haven't even worshiped you in so long, Lord. It's been so long since I've surrendered to you, and it's been so long that I've not given you my best. I haven't given you my time. I haven't given you my song. I haven't given you, Lord, I haven't given you the best. And so I want to take this opportunity tonight to give you the best that I have. I want to give you opportunity. I want to take this opportunity, Lord, to worship you. To stop being the sinner, the leper. If you're not saved tonight, you can be saved. You come and be and just receive the Lord as your Savior. You can do it. But you can also say, Lord, I want to be better. I want to be a better Christian, a better father, a better husband, a better Christian. Would you come tonight? Amen.
Let's all stand. Whatever it is that the Lord touched your heart about tonight as music plays, would you come? Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this time. Invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.